Yeah, baby. You're tuned into Anything Goes, and the South Orange Performing Arts Center is proud to present comedian Paula Poundstone in concert next Thursday, September 26th. 25 years ago, Paula Poundstone climbed on a Greyhound bus and traveled across the country, stopping in at open mic nights and comedy clubs as she went. As a high school dropout, she went on to become one of the great humorists of our time. As I said before, the only way that Paula can do what she does is she's got to be smarter than the rest of us. You can hear her as a regular panelist on NPR's popular Rascal of a Weekly News quiz show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. She tours regularly, performing stand-up comedy across the country. And while there's no doubt that Paula Poundstone is funny, the thing that really separates her from the pack of comics working today and that has made her a legend among comics and audiences alike is her ability to be spontaneous with a crowd. And I cannot tell you guys how long I've been a fan of Paula Poundstone's, and it is such a privilege to welcome her to Anything Goes this morning. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Oh, man.
You know, if I were smarter than the rest of the people, then I wouldn't hold the record for losses on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which I believe I do.
But you're on the radio, and it's a beautiful thing. Isn't radio fun?
It is fun. Yeah, it really is fun.
You don't have to do your hair or anything. That's what I like.
Yeah, well, I try anyways, but, you know, for not. You know, for those who don't know, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a weekly news quiz show, and we have three panelists who answer questions about the week's news. We vie for the mantle, I suppose, of most informed, and I tend to be least informed a lot. It's fun anyways. But, keeping up with what's going on in the world is hard anyways, but I have three kids and 16 cats and two German Shepherd mixed dogs and a bearded dragon lizard and a lop-eared bunny and one ant left from my ant farm. And,
Wait a minute. Time You're up to 16 cats?
I do have 16 cats, yes. Oh, I know, because I'm an idiot, that's why.
Do you have like a swimming pool instead of a litter box? How do you manage that?
I sift like four or five times a day. I have four litter boxes, and I live the disgusting life of like a chamberwoman. It's not it's not a pretty picture at all. That's pretty much what I do.
Do you have one of those mechanical litter boxes?
No, we tried that before, and it was just overwhelmed. It would just make this sort of sad humming noise. it couldn't keep up. It was defeated. And that was even, I had less cats at that time. Yeah, it just wasn't going to happen. And the other thing is you'd never hear the end of the noise because, you know, There's a line. It's like the ladies' room at a isolated gas station on the freeway. You know, there's always a line.
It's true. When I clean the cat litter box, I only have two. I have to say, I am a piker, but there is there's always a line. One of them somehow manages to stand there and hover over me and supervise.
Well, they like to watch you clean.
Yeah.
It's something about dominance. But two is wise. Just stick with two. Two is good. Two is cuddly and sweet and nice and. You know,
where do they come from?
Project.
Are these cats that are that you find on the street, or where do the cats come from, Paul?
I've gotten them from the animal shelters and stuff.
Shelters
for the most part. But you know what's great is I never have to click on a cat video on YouTube because I have nothing. I have constant cat video, and I, by the way, have made a handful of cat videos myself. Not probably as impressive filmmaking as my zucchini trilogy.
Wait a minute. Would we find the zucchini trilogy on YouTube?
It's on YouTube. It's also on my website.
PaulaPoundstone.com.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I grew zucchinis ridiculously large because the leaves were so damn big, I didn't even see the vegetable underneath the leaves. I turned them into actors, and they were spectacular.
We're going to have to look for
that. They made a film trilogy, which really, in terms of film trilogies, is probably second only to, I would say The Godfather, but the third Godfather wasn't good.
Star Wars, perhaps?
Perhaps Star Wars, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because the third zucchini film may have been my best work. So but the third godfather.
You're gardening as well? So wait a minute. Now, it's 8 o'clock in the
morning.
I do a little
bit of gardening. I don't do it very successfully, honestly. This year, I grew a bell pepper and a butternut squash, and then I had the harvest festival.
Yes.
Yeah.
I understand.
It's never a huge take. Plus, I have a rat that's in there all the time, and he's gone vegan. He's really enjoying some of the finest vegetables in all of Santa Monica.
I'm sure they're organic.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very nice. Very nice.
I have a rich, full life. I have a compost pile.
And me too. I have a disgusting compost pile.
I have the happiest worms.
Do you? Good to know.
Yeah, yeah.
Good
in fact, occasionally, well, you know, when you go to dinner at somebody's house and you're supposed to bring something, occasionally I'll bring a little container of worms. Not to eat, but, you know, for them to put in their garden. I'm not invited to a lot of dinners, I'll be honest.
No, well, not. I would think if you're bringing dirt with worms.
I have to
confess.
Maybe that's what's the turnoff. I'm not sure.
So it's 8 o'clock in the morning in your house, right? With 3 kids, 16 cats, 2 German shepherds, and what else did you say? You had a lizard?
I have a bearded dragon lizard and a lop-eared bunny.
Okay,
and
a lop-eared
bunny. Left me up for him. Yeah, 8 o'clock in the morning is actually... We're into the day already. Yeah.
I would think
my
so.
My son just got my son off to school. At his school, at the beginning of the year, they go on a outdoor adventure. And so yesterday we went to buy the equipment, and now he can't go to college. But I think that's fine. That's fine.
It's
unbelievable how an outdoor adventure. You could stay in the finest hotel in New York and go to a couple of nights of Broadway shows and pay less money than you do to sleep out in the dirt.
Okay, that's good.
So it's very costly.
You got him the canteen and the silverware kit and
This is with. I mean, when we've gone backpacking before, you know, I like to buy the freeze dried foods.
Yeah,
you know, and you're going to sink a lot of money into that. But I do. There's something about adding water and having a 3-piece meal with cutlery spring up before your eyes.
Kind of like the Jetsons, yeah.
Yeah, it is very much. It's very much like that. You know, the Jetsons were prescient. You know, a lot of people give George Orwell credit for, you know, oddly being able to know that how closely the government would watch us with screens. But... the Jetsons really nailed it.
Where are the Jetsons? Actually, I was at the grocery store the other day, and the kid had the belt going, and I said, Jane, stop this crazy thing. And the kid looked at me like, what? It was very sad. So we need Jetsons reruns, don't you think, Paula Poundstone?
Yeah. Surely they're out there. I mean, Scooby-Doo had a resurgence. Why wouldn't George Jetson have a resurgence?
I don't know. I don't understand the wisdom of these guys. But you have a brand new album, I Heart Jokes?
I have I Heart Jokes, Paula tells them in Boston. Now, I have in the past had I Heart Jokes, Paula tells them in Maine.
Yes, we've been airing that. Very funny.
But now I have I Heart Jokes, Paula tells them in Boston, which was recorded in Boston and is no more about Boston than I Heart Jokes, Paula tells them in Maine is about Maine, which is that, yes, I talked to some people in the audience, and so I suppose you get a flavor of where it is via that, but it's not really about... Sometimes people think it's all about Boston, and I think that's a weird thing to think, you know? Judy Garland did Live at Carnegie Hall, and there's not a song on there about Carnegie Hall. It's not how you do it.
It's absolutely
see
true.
See if you can find the mockingbird and To Kill a Mockingbird.
Well, what is it about the New England that causes you to record your shows? You're sort
of
discriminating.
Well, the main one really is because the recording engineer was there, and they talked me into doing it there. And I had such a great time with that experience that I dragged that recording engineer with me to Boston. Boston is... I'm from Massachusetts.
I didn't know
so,
that. Where in Massachusetts?
You know, and so there's a welcoming feel to the crowd there. You know, you want to record a CD where you think you're not going to fail. That's step one.
Where in Massachusetts, Paula?
I'm from Sudbury, Massachusetts, which is a small, you know, I would say colonial town, but I found out when I took my children as tourists, you know, you don't go as a tourist when you're raised there, but years later, I brought my California children out to Massachusetts, to my hometown, to show them all this colonial stuff. I was very enthusiastic about it. They were a little bit bored. And everywhere I went, I'm thinking I'm showing them this thing that's from, like, you know, 1776 or something, it turned out that it was a replica built by Henry Ford, or commissioned anyways by Henry Ford, you know, in the 30s. It was quite disappointing.
It's kind of like Antiques Roadshow.
That I've always believed was a colonial town. It's totally made by Hallmark.
That is disturbing.
Yeah, it's a fake phony town.
Very.
But anyways, that's where I'm from. And yeah.
And you're going to be here in New Jersey at the South Orange Performing Arts Center on the 26th. And I hear that there's like no tickets available. But if people want to try, they can visit sopacnow.org or call 973-313-2787.
Wow, I'd be surprised if there were no tickets available. I don't know for sure. I went to the zoo there one time years ago, like maybe 25 years ago, in February, and I was the only visitor at the zoo.
What?
Yeah, it was February.
How is that possible?
It was really cold. And like one or two animals looked up, just like, what the hell are you doing? Everybody was freezing their buns off. It was unbelievably cold.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And they even the animals were just like, why are you here?
I got a question, Paul. I've got something queued up, because you were talking about small towns. I've got Berlin queued up, which actually is when you recorded while you were talking to the people in Maine. Have you got an extra few minutes to hang out with us?
Sure.
Cool. Or you want to set this up at all, or you just want me to let it roll?
I can't remember anymore.
You can't remember? Well,
I don't listen to myself.
I'm hoping, I know that feeling. I'm hoping this is about, I've got the right track, and that this is about small towns, because you were talking about... Where you are from in Massachusetts, which we've never heard of, and you had the nerve to make fun of somebody who was from a town you'd never heard of. So let's check this out, you guys. Paula Poundstone, you can hear her on Wait, Don't Tell Me on National Public Radio, and also she's going to be at South Orange Performing Arts Center the 26th of this month. And, of course, she's got a couple of different albums, I Heart Jokes, including Paula tells them in Maine, and Paula tells them in Boston. So let's check this out. I'm sure you can find more about Paula Poundstone at paulapoundstone.com, and you're tuned into Anything Goes. I'm Lisa Avery.
What? Did you move from Laconia because you just couldn't take the pace? You moved from Burlington, Vermont?
Berlin, New Hampshire?
And did something bad happen there? No, I think they got the wrong Berlin. Did something bad? There was a group in the back. They just went, over the very idea of Berlin, New Hampshire. What do you... Berlin, sorry. I was using the French pronunciation. Berlin. What do you all know about it? Why did you make that noise? What? No? What am I talking to my son? All right, so what is it about Berlin that made you make that noise? Jesus Christ? In Berlin? It's not how the story goes. I mean, I'm an atheist, but I know the broad strokes. I don't remember hearing Berlin. I'll handle this. Berlin stinks? It used to. And then you moved away? Oh, I feel awful. And now is there kind of an odor in Guilford? I'm just reflecting back what you people are telling me. I'm just organizing the facts as you've presented them. And it seems to me what we've learned is that you used to live in Berlin. And it stinks, or it did. Then you moved to Guilford.
Paula Poundstone. You know what? Here's the thing. We've got Paula on the line. Paula, I had such a problem prepping this interview because I didn't want to stop listening to your stuff.
Well, I'm very flattered.
Paula is going to be at the South Orange Performing Arts Center on the 26th of this month. You guys, you can call SOPAC at 973-313-2787 and see if there's a few tickets left. I think there might just be a few.
I think you can also go on paulapoundstone.com and, like, click on the schedule. I think if you click on that date, it'll take you right through to their website.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's very high tech.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
but
it's
you also
more than I can handle, really. But I'm excited that that's possible.
You also wrote a book, Paula Poundstone. There's nothing in this book that I meant to say. What is that?
I did. It's a bit of an homage to the my OCD, actually, which is, I happen to have obsessive compulsive disorder. Everyone has it, by the way. It's only diagnosed based on the degree to which it interrupts your life. And it manifests itself different in different people. People tend to think of it as the cleaning Jones, which I do have, or the hand washing Jones, which mercifully I do not have. You or somebody you may know may feel the need to touch a place on a piece of furniture or a wall or a carpet every time you come and go from a room. That's OCD. Or the song that gets stuck in your head, that's OCD. Mm-hmm. And for me, I can't stop talking to save my life. What happens is that everything that gets said reminds me of something else that I feel that I must say. So it could be something you said that reminds me of something, or it could be something I said that reminds me of something. I've always said that Martin Luther King could come to my hotel room tonight and say to me, I had a dream, and I'd say, oh, I had one too, only in mine. So when I went to write this book many years ago, I believe there was an understanding between myself and the publisher that it was to be memoir-ish anyways, my thoughts, my reflections. And when I went to write it, I felt like such an idiot writing about myself, given that I'm not dead and I haven't really done anything. It seemed presumptuous. And one day, while staring at blank paper, it dawned on me that although I didn't feel comfortable just plain writing about myself, that if I were to try to write about Abraham Lincoln, I would not be able to shut up about myself. And so that's exactly what I did. My book is a series of biographies of towering historic figures. And in the telling of their story, I tell my own. And Abraham Lincoln was, in fact, my first test chapter, and it worked exactly how I thought it would, which is I got as far as his mother died of milk disease before I thought to myself, my mother had a headache for a really long time. And after that, the parallels were simply leaping off the page. So obviously, I've never emancipated slaves, but I do, when I have a babysitter, try to come home early. So the similarities were there.
So the stream of consciousness is very important.
Yes. So when, by the time you finish reading the book, A, hopefully it was funny, but B, you've read several authentic, albeit brief, biographies of towering historic figures.
Wow.
Well, I have a Helen Keller chapter. Although, mercifully, none of my children are blind and deaf, my oldest daughter, Tosha, has astigmatism and doesn't listen. So the similarities and the struggles are there.
Ooh. There you go.
My neighbor Jack came over.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah, my neighbor dog Jack, he comes over almost every day.
Lovely, for
and
treats
all
and things.
Act, they run around and bark as if it's never happened before.
Well, did you get in trouble when you were in school, Paula, for your tendency to sort of go off track? Or?
I did, here and there. I was annoying, that was why. None of it was unjust. I actually just visited recently my 8th grade English teacher, Mrs. Forbes, who's, I think she's 93 now. I remember one time she stopped me while I was running down the hall and said, Miss Poundstone, in the future we will walk down the hall. And I said, and what a bright future that will be. So when I visited her recently at 93... She said, what are you doing now? And I said, walking down the hall, and it's just as exciting as you always said it would be.
Oh, no, you didn't.
No, I didn't. But I did tell her that I had just finished reading Tale of Two Cities, and I asked her to check my name off.
Very good. That's good. Hey, better late than never. Do you have any HBO or Comedy Network specials or anything that we need to know about Paula Poundstone?
None that I know of.
Oh, too bad.
Surely they'll keep me posted.
They will call you if that's their intention.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm working on another book, and I'm you know, I'm relentlessly on the road, and lucky to be so, by the way. I'm lucky enough to be on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So I'm I don't feel bored.
Well, we're excited to have you in our lives. I don't want to let you go without. I know you are a big. Not only an avid reader of Tale of Two Cities, but you're an advocate for the American Library Association and national spokesperson for United for Libraries. First of all, I want to thank you for doing that. I had a big fight with a council person in my town who, when they were limiting the hours of the library, and I complained to them, and they said, well, people can just go buy their books at Barnes & Noble.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, right.
You know, the library is an interesting place, you know. And it's fascinating to me that through all of the technological changes, you know, the library still glows.
Yes.
It you know, provides computers, which, by the way, I mostly loathe, but there they are. You know, it's got periodicals and books on tape, which are a wonderful way of taking in a book. They have DVDs and lecture series, depending on the library. By the way, the books. And, you know, the truth is you couldn't buy those books.
Yeah.
Sure, some. But, you know, they have a lot of stuff that you couldn't find elsewhere. And also a sense of community that you don't find elsewhere. Different libraries are different, so it's tough for me to speak to what services one particular library offers. And I know in Santa Monica at one point they're considering, anyways, having a ukulele club. I don't know if they ever went for that or not. But in
That's
where
cool.
we live, they have, you know, they have homework spaces, like rooms that you can rent to tutor, or not rent, sign up for.
Uh-huh.
And at one point, they had adults teaching other adults to read,
mm-hmm.
which makes my hair stand on end. It's so exciting. I always think to myself, and I tell this to my kids, you know, sometimes as a volunteer, you wonder, gee, is this really making a difference? Somebody who teaches, someone else, who has the courage to come and ask to be taught to read as an adult, you know that is a stone that will ripple for generations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you.
Yeah, libraries are pretty cool places.
Is Jack is attacking you?
I think I was just bitten.
This may be the most bizarre.
Right in the ass, too. No, I'm not kidding. My neighbor's dog right behind me.
Well, we can hear him. Any other causes that are near and dear to your heart, Paula Poundstone, that you want to mention?
Any other causes?
Yeah.
Well, now there's the Heal My Butt campaign. And the Get Rid of My Neighbor's Dog Jack campaign. It's very popular in Santa Monica right now.
Paula, thank you
so
much.
This is why I have 16 cats, by the way, because dogs are morons.
Well, I would think that the 16 cats must have scattered in all directions at this point, or do they know Jack?
No, they're in the house, and these guys were doing their antics outside on the porch. I stepped outside of the porch because, believe it or not, my house is noisier.
I kind of figured that. I was wondering how you were going to manage this.
Yeah, why I didn't step in when the dogs were barking, because inside there's vacuuming. And, you know, we have to vacuum almost 24 hours a day just to keep up with the cat here.
I get it. I hear it. You know, Paula, it is really... I cannot tell you enough what a privilege it is. You've been making me laugh for easily more years than either one of us wants to admit. And I'm so glad that you're doing so well and that you are continuing what you do, because I honestly think you are brilliant. You have a brilliant and witty mind, and I thank you so much for making time for us here on Anything
Goes. Well, I had a great time talking with you. Thank you very much.
Well,
take care.
All right, bye-bye. Take care. Bye. All right, Paula Poundstone is going to be at the South Orange Performing Arts Center. There may or may not be tickets. You'll have to give them a shout and find out. And